When we pulled up, there were flurries in the parking lot. Just little ones. The kids were like, look, it's snowing. It was like 20 seconds, and then it stopped. But you, yes, they are. Yeah. It's great to see you guys. Hey. Something to be in prayer for, guys, not to put a big damper on the message, but you guys remember Stephanie Allen and her mother? We just heard that she passed very recently, so keep her in your prayers, if you would, for Stephanie and Soraya as they're kind of recovering and just working through that. She had been sick for a while and was just really starting to do well and unfortunately became ill recently and passed. So let's be praying for the Allen family. So, well, guys, welcome. Welcome at home. Welcome, Joe. I can welcome you. Guys, that's right, camera operator Joe. You guys, fill out on your cards today. How'd you do on the camera? And you at home, let us know. No pressure, Joe. You're good. You're good. But yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to test you. If I move this way, are you going to get up and follow me with the camera?
Yeah, go ahead.
There you go. All right. I won't try too much, but be aware I may move a lot. Maybe. I like to get up and move. I like to move it. But yes. So right now, guys, one thing we want to do and I want to talk about, Lord willing, today is about, and you see it on your titles, a heavenly home nearness to God. How many of us would argue that your home may not be so heavenly right now? I don't know about you. Like yesterday, I finished a multi-day project of putting lights up 20 feet in the air. And you know what? As great as those Christmas lights look, oh my goodness, I am scared of heights. Not again. Not happening again. But it looks a little nicer, doesn't it? Who's done lights so far? You put lights up around the house and they look nice, right? To remind us, of course, of the Christmas story, the lights that God had used to guide the wise men, right? The Magi. It reminds us that God was in Christmas. Anybody ever, I kind of mentioned it last week, you get tired of watching Christmas movies and someone sappily at the end says, we've forgotten the real meaning of Christmas, joy and happiness. I'm like, what? Yeah, joy and happiness over what? It, for a lot of places, it's just, oh, you forgot, you're supposed to feel good now. Anybody ever tell you when you're depressed, hey, cheer up. How does that work for you, right? Nothing's really changed except you're ordering me to feel better. That doesn't actually make me feel better, right? You know? So cheer up, things could get worse. Sure enough, I cheered up and things got worse. So, right. But our heavenly home is nearness to God. How many of us, maybe in a moment of weakness, don't need to raise your hands, in pain and struggling, have just told, maybe you just told God, maybe you told someone around you, I just want to go home. How many people have we known on their deathbeds that have just said, I want to go home? Because we know that we have a built-in desire, a desire to be going home. What did even Solomon write, right? Solomon was gifted by God to be wiser than any other human being, like ever. Anybody else ever wanted that kind of wisdom? You know you're accountable when God gives you something, right? So if God makes you smarter than everybody else, you better do a good job. Now, what did Solomon do in his great wisdom? Because the Queen of Sheba even traveled up from Africa. Says, I've heard about you. She brought great gifts and says, I want to see what you're like. She sat down with Solomon and the Word of God says that he answered every question she had. How many of y'all know there's lots of people who pretend to answer our questions, but they don't always go so well? Boy, I've walked away going, that answer sounds good, and take about 2 seconds to think of it and saying, that's wrong. You know, but it says that God gave him this kind of amazing wisdom. And Solomon in his wisdom wrote that God has made everything beautiful, perfect in its time, and that he has put what on the hearts of mankind? Eternity. That everybody has an understanding that there is more than what we touch, we feel, we see now. There's an expectation and it's not just some biological response. God has put an understanding in all human beings that there is more than this life that we experience now. But unfortunately, in the rest of the verse, it says, but he's also done things in a way that we don't quite understand everything, right? Anybody else want to understand everything? I was talking to a brother in Christ this week. We're going back and forth. And he's like, I wish I had the answers for everyone's questions, for all the questions even I have. And it's like, you know, brother, it's like archaeology. If you don't enjoy the digging, the discovery will not be worth it. You better enjoy the digging around for that, because our joy comes in the things and the digging. And I mean, as we chase God, and by the way, it's not like God's running. Can I get an amen? But as we chase God, as we focus on God and try to draw near to Him, as we seek after Him, we are blessed. You guys know, as you're reading through the Word and you're like, I don't get this. But then He starts to show you things. So He'll show you things in your own heart. Show you things going on in your life. And you're like, how did you know? Oh, you're God. That's right. You can do this. And it's a mind blower. And you start digging up the gold. Sometimes I've started in Scripture looking for an answer I wanted. And I found 20 that I didn't ask for, but they were better than the one I started with. Amen? That's okay. And I said, you know what? We need to begin by loving, chasing God, seeking after Him. And you know what? It's a good desire of this to seek God, isn't it? Is it a good desire to want Him, to know Him, to follow Him? What did in that same book Solomon say that everything else in this world is? He says it's all what? Vanity. The word in Hebrew is hevel. It means smoke, nothingness. It's an illusion that you grasp for, and when you get it, it's gone. Everything. There is only one who, when we reach and we grasp, because everything of this world will not satisfy the human heart and the human soul. There is but one who does that. And what is His name? Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. God has not only built eternity into the hearts of mankind, but He has put in Himself as the only solution to humanity's heart problem. And we rejoice because not only is God not running from us, He is not Waldo hiding. He is not, you know, on leave. What does God do but invite people? Isaiah 55, ho, everybody, come, drink, eat, right? God is inviting us to come to Him. I'm loud, aren't I? I can get quiet. I think of the great wisdom of Solomon, and he had ups and downs, didn't he? He had a lot of success militarily, monetarily, with his great wisdom and his planning. But in the same way, he also abandoned God's ways and sought after things on his own. How many of y'all know the smartest person there ever was is still not as smart as God? Can I get an amen? So if you and I are not the smartest person that ever was, how come we struggle sometimes doing that thing too, right? Well, that's a good news for me. Solomon encourages me in that, in my failures, even the smartest guy didn't get it, always. Because we know that Solomon had his own struggles in his marriages, in his not-so-marriages, and in his children and in his worship. And look at Rehoboam, his son, who took the throne after him. And the first time he's challenged to be, what should we do? What should we do? And how do we walk forward with this? Knowing my father is gone. And does he listen to the wise counselors? If you're a little bit older, folks, let's say, did he listen to the old folks, the wise, knowledgeable ones? Or did he listen to his young men who counseled him, who didn't much know things? He listened to the younger men, and because of his pride and arrogance, what was fulfilled through God's promise to Solomon because of his own sins, the kingdom was divided and broken. Access to the temple for most of Israel gone. And why was that important in his day? Access to the temple. Remember, Solomon built the temple of God, prepared by David. And he built this amazing house because how many of us, I don't know about you guys, does it ever sound kind of silly? Even Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, said to God how silly it was, right? He's like, God, You're God. Even the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain You. So when we build this house, we're not under any false assumption that we have built Your home. Anybody ever have one of your kids build you a tent and say, Daddy, Mommy, come into the tent I built? And you're like, not going to happen. Sometimes it's up in a bunk bed and you're like, that's going to hurt when I fall. Sometimes it's down in the ground and you're like, that's so cute. You're 3 feet tall, you know. So you get on your knees and you get under there and you try to make yourself in that little kid home. I'm not knocking you, Joe. I love it when you invite me in. How about this? When they play cars and they joke around and they pull the Hot Wheels up on the table, right? Come on, Dad, hop in. I said, there's no way I'm doing it. I'm 6'1", 280 pounds. I ain't getting in that Hot Wheels. So he laughs, Dad. You're kidding. Yeah. But in their imagination, they want that nearness. Even if it's just pretend, they're like, get in the car with me, Dad. Let's go for a drive. It's like, you don't drive yet, son. Let me drive. You get out and switch around, and then I'll get in the hot. Then we'll go on the Hot Wheel, right? Joe wants to drive so bad. Come on, Dad, I can do it. Oh, yeah, we'll see. We're getting there. Four more years. I could teach him to drive the mountain. But getting in there, we desire a nearness with our Father. And we see that throughout the Scriptures as well. The first point in your script, in your verses I want you to write down is a house for God. We know that on the mountaintop, when Moses was called up to be near to God, God gave him plans for a building, didn't he? In fact, when you're reading through the law and you're going maybe through there for the first time, you're like, okay, the Ten Commandments, I've heard of these. And you read them and then you're walking through, okay, well, there's some other rules about worship, about this and that. And then God says, okay, I'm going to build a tent. You're like, what happened? I thought this was all about being good, doing right things, and God is giving. For chapters and chapters, there's instructions. What's worse yet is that after Moses writes them all down and he has to go down and explain to the people, you get the same thing again when he's describing to you construction plans. You're going to build it this big by this big. Only can do it by this material, not this material. This is the guy who's going to do it. These are the only people that can touch this part. These are the only people that can touch this part. You're like, wow, that's a lot of instructions. And of course, the tabernacle, the tent of God, right, is a representation of what? It's a representation of what the throne room in heaven is like. How many of y'all know, again, that's a neat thing. It's a picture of the unseen, what only those who've gone before us can see, and what God and the angels can see. And he says, I'm going to have you build a model. Reminds me of Monty Python, right? They look at Camelot, Camelot. It's only a model. You know, the tabernacle, even the temple is a palace, shining with gold in the sun, big giant stones. Even the temple that Solomon built, that people would come from around the world to marvel at it. It's only a model. Come on, let's admit it. It is, right? Because in the same thing that happened in mankind's attempts, even though by God's design, even mankind's best is not sufficient, is it? Like Solomon said, even the heavens, the highest heavens, he means beyond the sky, beyond the stars. God, wherever you dwell in a spiritual palace, whatever that looks like, we know that that and all of it is not enough to contain you. That's a big God, folks. Beyond our imagining, beyond our telescopes, God is bigger. Can you just say that with happiness? God is bigger. God is bigger. That sounds weird, right? But he's bigger. He's better. We can't contain him. In fact, what happened? After the tabernacle was finished, and then Moses went in the front of the tent, and it says the glory of the Lord filled the tent. The cloud was upon it. What happened? Could Moses go in? No. He says the glory was so strong he couldn't even get close. I cannot enter because the glory of the Lord was there. When Solomon dedicated the temple and prayed to God, and his presence came like a cloud and just settled there in the temple, the priests tried to go in to do their jobs. And what happened? The priests couldn't enter. Not the priests, not you guys, you know. Chris and Rhonda, they couldn't enter either. But the priests who wanted... That's a bad joke. But the priests to minister could not enter because the glory of the Lord was there. How many of y'all know God's glory is pretty powerful? Think about Moses and his heart, because again, what's more important? And you guys, we all know this. What's more important? Having a house for God or being near to God? A house was built to facilitate a relationship. The houses were built, the tabernacle, the temple, because sacrifice was needed. The punishment for sin was required for fellowship. And all of them pointed forward to one sacrifice. It said when Solomon offered sacrifices on the day of dedication to the temple, they couldn't even count the animals that they were slaughtering for this purpose. Countless animals, the blood of bulls, rams, goats, sheep, was all pointing forward to one who would come. Just like John said, that baptizer out in the wilderness, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus. That's the guy. That's the one that was coming. That's why we don't have a temple anymore. We don't have a temple. Why? Sacrifice is done. Once for all paid for. And that is taken care of. Because we understand that that was meant to facilitate the sacrifice so that the people could draw near. And even when Moses, with his right heart, says to God, remember when Moses was up there, he's talking to God. In fact, God has just re-entered into a covenant relationship with Israel because they messed up, right? Do you remember that? How it's kind of funny. God gave them the Ten Commandments and stuff. And they're like, dude, God is scary. We do not want to go near him. Moses, you go get the information, take good notes, bring it down to us. When Moses did that, what was their response? We will be faithful to do everything according to what God has spoken. How well did that work out? Moses goes back up for more notes, and they start doing what they just promised they would never do. And so Moses is interceding on behalf of the people, and God agrees to enter into a covenant and to go with them. Moses pleading, God, don't send an angel. You go with us, please. He says, I will go with you. And then Moses says something that I think touches at the heart of God that everybody should desire. He says, I want to see your glory. I want to see you. Now, Moses had seen more of God than anybody else. He saw the burning bush. He got to walk up close to the fire. Even when the elders were invited up to a point, and Joshua and Moses, and they ate in the presence of God, only Moses could really go further. And then he says, God, it's not enough. I want to know you. I want to see more. How many of y'all know it's good to be hungry for more of God? Amen. Sometimes we just say, God, I've had enough. I'm good. But in the scripture, is that commended ever? No. Not that we're not grateful for what God has given us. There is a way we can be grateful for God's presence and work in our lives and yet say, I still want to know you more. I want to understand you better. I want to be closer to you. I want to hear your voice better. Help me. God has always commended those who seek his face. Because Moses, when he said that at that point, he says, God, I want to see your glory. The Lord says, nobody can see my face and live. Nobody. And he says, what I'll do for you, Moses, is I will put you here in the cleft of the rock. And when I pass by you, my hand will cover you so that you may see a little bit of the glory in the back. Moses didn't see the face of God. Even though it says later in the tent of meeting, God met with Moses and talked with him like a friend. But it still says he never got to see his face. It was always a veiled glory because he couldn't get that close. You see, because point two, the desire in our hearts, the desire in humanity isn't just to build a house for God, but point two, it's to have a home with God. It's to be at home with God. Even the word church, where we get it, which originally came from other languages and even going back to the Greek, was a combination of a house of the Lord, the house of God. That word we use today even comes from that meaning, and so we forget about it, right? The house of God. We desire to build a home with God. And how many of y'all know the best home is wherever God is, right? Because when we say, oh, I want to go home, we don't just mean I want to go to heaven. Streets of gold sound nice. It also sounds really shiny and maybe hard to clean. I don't know. It sounds slippery almost. I don't know. We know that's probably figurative language. Whatever heaven is described as is going to be great. But it's not just great because of the architect. It's great because the architect is there. And we want to be closest to God. Just like Moses said, if he says, I pray, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways so that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. And then he says again, I want to see your glory. I pray, show me your glory. Is Moses' heart crying out to God? The impossible quest, though, is not impossible, is it?
How many of y'all know there is one who has seen the face of God? And the Gospel of John, as we read in chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was who? Not what, who? The Word. And the Word was what? He was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Anybody else confused? Yeah, if we don't get it. That looks weird. It's like, what are these word playings? Look at the prepositions. With, on, above, about, before, besides, beneath. The point is, you know what we're talking about. Who is the Word of God? Jesus. It says, guys, that word with in Greek is weak in English. We don't get it quite right. It literally implies face to face. There is somebody who has been face to face with the Father. And He has left the Father to come, hasn't He? Because the third point, we're moving quicker, is a dwelling for deity. And I want to read as we continue in this, because you all know the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14, right? The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. I'm paraphrasing. And it was quoted again to the angel as they explained it to Joseph and Mary. And Joseph, right, kind of freaking out, gets a dream, and it's like, dude, his name is going to be Jesus. This is what was spoken of the prophet Isaiah in Matthew 1:23. Angels explaining it to Joseph. God with us. This is what was talked about. You're living it. That's exciting. And what does it say in John again in verse 14? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory. God showed His glory in a really neat way, and He did it by coming Himself. God bless you. I think, was that if it was a cough, I still want to bless you anyway. May God bless you in a cough. Oh, praise Him. But God gave us something better, didn't He? The first way, He says, to be with Me, I'll give you tents of skin, precious stones and metals and items. Then they built a temple for God. Giant stones, beautiful metals, wonderful artwork. But it's still just a Hot Wheels car. It's still a Hot Wheels. And then He says, I'm going to come to be with My people to bring an end to the sacrifice. And He's going to come not in a temple, but with tininess, tiny hands, tiny feet. A baby. Anybody else amazed by God and His plans? Oh, He does things the way we wouldn't do it. But He brings it about for His perfection. How many of y'all know that baby grew up, right? Sometimes we like to think of Jesus as a Cabbage Patch kid in a manger, right? No, yeah, he was a baby, but He did grow up. Baby Jesus grew up, but we all know as well in the same way, when we talk about the church as the house of God, we can trust that, number one, God is omnipresent, right? Anyone else can do that? You can be everywhere at once? I can't. But when we talk about the glory of God, y'all know that when we leave this building, where's God? He's in us. That's it. The glory of God has condescended not to dwell in structures that point to the One. But now He says, it'll be a new way. What does it say? Does Paul remind them in the book of Corinthians as they're struggling? Because the church in Corinth had divisions. And they were, no, I follow Apollos. I follow Paul. They had different, you know, people that they looked up to. Is it okay to have a mentor in the faith? Oh, yeah. There's some wonderful godly men and women to look up to in their conduct, their teaching, their preaching, their lifestyles. And say, like Paul said, he says, follow Me as I follow Christ. And we can look to them and say, as they are following faithfully to Christ, I want to be like that. I tell you, man, I'm sure you got it. I know people in my life that have been close to Jesus, and I look at them and they're just people. But I say, well, I want to be like that. That's as close as I've seen anyone get. But Paul reminds the church as they are looking to their heroes and says, don't you know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You're looking to people and dividing yourself, but each and every one who is in Christ has the Spirit of God tabernacling in them. Not a house of skins, but a house of skin. Not stones, but flesh and blood. He says, you are the temple of God. When this church is empty, it's a building. But when we're here, the church is here. And when we leave it, the church isn't here. Because the church, the ecclesia, the called out body of believers, it's us. It's those people in Christ Jesus. Not only did he condescend to become a human being for you and I, for the glory of the Father, and he concealed his glory, not taking away from who he was as God, the Son, but yet submitting himself and adding humanity to himself. And so we see this working towards something even more beautiful than the tent and more beautiful than the tabernacle. Josephus wrote of the temple of God. How you could see the sun shining from it from miles away, a jewel in Jerusalem, shining for everyone to see. But yet in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed it. Its purpose at that time finished. Because a new temple had been chosen. And that's us. Now there may be a time in the future that a third is erected. We've read about some of those events, right? Yeah. Hey, Joe Biden mentioned it on his Hanukkah lighting. I thought that was interesting. And conspiracy theorists are all, he's going to help build it. He might. I don't know. But we talk about this potential thing. We recognize that's the thing. But again, that'll be scary because if that's the case and we read scripture and understanding those as future events, that means somebody's going to come claiming to be not this baby Jesus of the scripture, but claiming to be Messiah. Standing in that temple, proclaiming himself to be God. He's about 2,000 years too late. Somebody already came into the temple and cleaned it with zealousness that his house of prayer might be there for all peoples to come to God. It's been done. Satan's got no new tricks, folks. He's just imitating. I don't mean to put him down in that way. As I look, man, he's crafty, better than us. But the real king has already come. And he's coming again to rule and reign in righteousness. And at this time, do we sit and wait? Or do we go with the dwelling of God within us? This is the beauty of what God has done, of his condescension to be in Hot Wheels with us. You're a little sports car for Jesus. That sounds weird, I know. But we recognize that when someone has come to faith and is born again, God places his spirit within the believer so that they might have a new intimacy, a relationship, that he would live in them and they in him, as he is in the Father and the Father in him. It is a new relationship, a new way of being, something that could not happen without his birth, his death, and his resurrection. So we rejoice that a heavenly home for God has now been made in all of you and I. We don't have to come to the building to be near God. But how many of you all know we do need to come together? Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Not everything in this church or the building, as I say church, will give us everything we need in Christ. Is it easy sometimes for anybody, me, you, anybody at home, you can walk into a place and then you can walk out without ever being known, without ever being edified, but you could come. How many of us we know we need something deeper? Doesn't matter within the building or without. How many of us have been blessed by godly saints in our lives who in maybe a Bible study? In fact, I don't even like the word Sunday school or that name. When you guys think of anything, when you put school in the title, who is really overjoyed about that? I get to go to Sunday school! Ooh, no! As a kid, school is a four-letter word. You know? But what can Sunday school be? What is it? It's a small group of like-minded believers with the purpose of fellowship and edifying and teaching the Word of God so that people might be able to have a glimpse into our lives so that they might know us better to bless us. Same thing is true sometimes of a smaller home group or Bible study. It's intentional fellowship of people beyond the common gatherings. How many of y'all know, though, that when we open up to other people, sometimes they see things we don't want them to see? I tell you, boy, somebody came into my house the other week and I was mortified. But that's, whose fault is that, by the way? Mine. You darn right, preach it. It's absolutely mine. But you know what? By the grace of God, sometimes those experiences, when someone has a look into our lives, will help edify us. Especially if we are there to correct in love and grace. Not that we pretend we didn't see things, but we come alongside people who struggle and say, this isn't the way. We need each other. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are in Christ, He has made you His temple. He's purified you for His presence, and He has set you apart for His service to Him and to each other. How many of y'all know Janie was a little bummed this week? Did you see that email? That woman and Miss Yvonne were baking every day that I could remember being in this building. Oh, it was the greatest thing ever. I'm sitting right above them, and through the vents, what do you think I smelled every day? Cookies, banana bread. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. You could just taste the air. And it was wonderful. And then, because of different changing restrictions, they say, what was okay 1 week, now next, it's too dangerous. Don't bring in these things to share with people. So Janie and I talked, what are we going to do? I said, why don't we open it up to the body? Why don't we ask them to take it? Because if we can't take it to those folks in Kit Carson to share, maybe other people can be blessed by this. So I sent out an email. If you didn't see it or read it, what it said was, we have been blessed. Janie has more dough. She hasn't even baked yet because we don't got room for it. She was ready to feed like 100 people. I said, let's open this up to the church. If you know somebody who you want to invite, maybe do our Christmas service, which is coming up on the 24th. Maybe you want to invite someone to church. Maybe you want to invite them into your home so that they might get to know you because Jesus is in you. If you need an icebreaker, take some cookies. Who on earth is going to not want somebody to bring them cookies? It depends if they were bad or not. I already tried some. They're good. You can take them and not be ashamed, but if you need something more, maybe that neighbor you don't talk to much. Maybe that person you see at the store every week, but you don't talk to them. Pray about it. See who God's going to put in your path. Take a few of those with you. Maybe, I know a lot of you already do that. But hey, maybe it's tough and it's hard this year. Maybe you don't have time. But God has provided us through a lot of hard work with a lot of opportunities we could be giving out to other people. Saying, you know what? I feel God wants me to give you this. Merry Christmas. Hey, if you want to hang out sometime, well, here's my number. You want to come to church? Here's where I come. Come on and try it out. But you all know that coming to this building isn't magical, right? It's God who is in His people, who works. We are the church. And we bear the Spirit of God with us. In conclusion, best two words you ever heard in the service, right? In conclusion, we are here to serve our Lord, and He has released us to serve other people. Remember when Jesus sent out the 70? And He's like, He gave them authority over demons, the ability to do miracles, all these great things. And He says, I want you to go preach the gospel. Tell them about the kingdom. He didn't say, you go and tell them all about how great I am and then bring them back to me so I can start telling them stuff, did he? He says, you go tell. How many of y'all know, and I'm stealing this from Rick Warren, I'll be honest, so just a heads up. He said, the church may only have one pastor, but how many of you know that everybody in the church is a minister? Can I get an amen? God calls pastors. He also calls everybody to something. And the pastor is one job in the church, but he calls all of us to minister in the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody. He will give us gifts and callings for different purposes, but we are all ministers. We are all sharers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need each other for our edification, our encouragement, our growing up. If you're not fellowshipping in church gathering, you're not coming, Not only are you missing out on someone else God has to bless you, someone else is missing out on a blessing God has for you, for them. Well, that wasn't a very put together sentence, was it? You know that we're here to be blessed and to be a blessing. God does it both. Let us remember that God's greatest gift was not just to bless us, but that so that we could also be a blessing then in turn. The Father sent the Son, and the Son has sent you and I. So let's go out remembering that we now bear, and we are the house, the temple of God, if we are in Christ Jesus. We need each other through the hard times and the good times. Light and dark, snow and rain. I'm not asking you to shovel. We have a service. But let's pray. Father God, I would ask you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, to remind us now at Christmas time that we remember that you tabernacled among us. That you showed us how what you were doing in the past through tents and through temples, and you did it in your Son as a human being. Somehow God, somehow Jesus, the eternal Son of God, you added humanity to yourself and somehow died. I don't even know how you did that stuff. Like Solomon said, we know enough to know there's more, but we don't know everything. And I don't know how you did all those things. But I trust you did because the Scripture says so. And you have continued to confirm in my heart your goodness and truth. Lord God, would you remind every one of us listening at home, here in the sanctuary, anywhere we are, I would ask you to please remind us your plan. It did not end with just having buildings. And in fact, it hasn't ended yet, because you even say you will remake heaven and earth. You will return, and your dwelling, your heavenly home, will not be distant. Your heavenly home will be near to us. Our heavenly home is going to be nearness to God. Whether in the highest heaven now or someday when you return and make it your home in the New Jerusalem on earth. And it says that man and God will be divided no more. That's the heavenly home we are looking forward to when all things have been accomplished. Not just the sacrifice for sin, but sin and death and the enemy are done away with. And we are left with you. And you invite us by faith through the leading of the Holy Spirit, called of the Father, sanctified by the Son, led by the Spirit, so that we might be made into the image of Jesus Christ in God. We want to be near you. We want to be like you. Please remind us of everything you have as ministers of God, to be your tabernacle to our neighbors, to be your temple to our families, to be your emissary and image bearer to our children. You are good. And Father God, the goodness that we have, let us not forget it or neglect the goodness that is coming. Help us to remember that. If there's anyone here or at home who does not know that, I would ask you to lead and guide them by your good, powerful will. That you would lead souls to salvation, trusting that Jesus Christ, the Son of God eternally, added humanity to himself to pay for the sins that we have committed so that we might be forgiven together. We did nothing to earn it or deserve it, but trusting upon it, you say we are born again and given life eternal to be with you. I pray people would do that even now. And for those who already have, let us remember. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Brothers and sisters, a song for reflection.